Our Old Testament reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 15. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry for her, that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice cries out, and I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. Their consistency is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Who has measured the waters of the sea in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the spirit of the Lord or has his counselor has instructed him? Whom did he consult for his enlightenment and who taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Even the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as dust on the scales. See, he takes up the isles like fine dust. The New Testament reading is from John chapter 10, verses 7 through 18. So again, Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it up from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks. Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. What is a mountain's favorite game? Peek-a-boo. What do you call a dog that climbs mountains? A rock hound. I took a trip to a valley, but now I'm feeling a little down. Oh, those were so bad. If you are engaged in a long journey, especially if it is by foot, which happens with less frequency now, mountains and valleys can be real obstacles or at least serious setbacks in your progress. I mean, think about that final scene in the movie The Sound of Music where with tiny children in tow, they're fleeing for their lives across the Alps from Austria into Switzerland. The mountains and the valleys that lie ahead of them are formidable. And that's the picture presented today in our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 40. as the prophet describes how God is going to come barreling across the forbidding wilderness to rescue his people from their 70-year national captivity. And these are words we usually contemplate during the Advent season. A voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And then words that sound like modern highway construction techniques. "Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain." Now, we may think that those modern highway building techniques just happen. But despite the impressive machinery, folks who work on construction crews will tell you it is backbreaking work. A foot at a time, out in the elements, the rain, snow, and beating sun, and miles of orange cones, to get all of those valleys lifted up and all those mountains and hills made low. Valleys of Lent, today we look forward with our God to the time when those valleys will cease to exist, when the way by which our God comes to deliver us and the way on which God leads us home will become level. A superhighway, the way of the Lord. Meanwhile, however, obstacles abound to prevent our Lord coming to us or to keep us from following God. Roadblocks, as it were, on the road to redemption. And on the way to the cross, Jesus will face a number of roadblocks or stumbling blocks as he travels through the valleys on the way to a hilltop. Jesus will face his betrayal by Judas, a trusted friend, certainly a low point, a valley in our Lord's ministry. And Jesus raised that valley by greeting Judas as a friend in the Garden of Gethsemane, offering him even in that garden the precious gifts of forgiveness and friendship, and eventually using that very betrayal as the means by which our Lord's suffering and dying would come to pass. And there was Peter's denial of the Lord in the high priest's courtyard, not just once, but three times, just as Jesus had predicted. Denial that was carried out with solemn lying, "I do not know him." An incident which Peter himself almost immediately recognized as a low point in his career as a disciple. A valley. And Peter was not alone. I mean, when push comes to shove, the Bible says all of the disciples forsook their Lord and fled. And haven't we also had such times when we have denied our faith? Then there was the opposition of the religious leaders with their trumped up accusations and false witnesses, as well as the crowd shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Give us Barabbas!" In my lifetime, I have made misguided choices. And I rather imagine most of you have as well. There have been some serious valleys in my life and in my faithfulness. From Jesus' point of view, the physical pain of his passion must have been a stumbling block. Literally, as well as the spiritual agony that caused him to cry out from the very depths of his soul, my God, why have you forsaken me? When it comes to valleys, they don't get any lower than that. And yet, have you noticed that every one of these Linton valleys that we have identified this morning is something we Christians have come to celebrate over the centuries? Valleys we have lifted up in thanksgiving as something our Savior endured to seek and find his lost sheep and return us to safety. Every valley shall be lifted up. I like the older translation. Every valley shall be exalted. The ancient prophet cried out as he foresaw the Lord coming with great difficulty and yet with great determination, like a good shepherd, to rescue his people. Raise God's praises high as we continue on our journey to the cross. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.